Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Great to see everybody this morning. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day to press into the Word of God. I believe the Lord has wisdom for all of us today. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible if you want to follow along. But I'm going to pray and we're going to dive right on into this thing. So, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that you have given us your written Word so that we can learn from it. We can apply it to our life. So God, I just pray, help us take things that seem lofty and make them easy so that we can understand and obey you well. So God, I just pray, give us soft hearts as we press in this morning. Holy Spirit, I just pray, let your voice be alive to all of us. Because God, I can read text, I can read words on a page, but Holy Spirit, it is you that brings the text to life. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, there we go. We are excited to press in today. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1, it says, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the Lord's sight like his ancestor David. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made cast images of the Baals. He burned incense in Ben-Hinnom Valley and burned his children in the fire, imitating the detestable practices of the nations the Lord has dispossessed before the Israelites. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. So the Lord his God handed Ahaz over to the king of Aram. He attacked him and took many captives to Damascus. Ahaz was also handed over to the king of Israel, who struck him with great force. Pekah, son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 in Judah in one day, all brave men because of they had abandoned the Lord God of their ancestors. An Ephraimite warrior named Zichri killed the king's son Messiah, Azriah, governor of the palace, and Elkanah, who was second to the king. Then the Israelites took 200,000 captives from their brothers, women, sons, and daughters. They also took a great deal of plunder from them and brought it to Samaria. A prophet of the Lord named Oded was there. He went out to meet the army and came to Samaria and said to them, "Look, the Lord God of your ancestors handed them over to you because of his wrath against Judah. But you slaughtered them in a rage that has reached the heaven. Now you plan to reduce the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, to slavery. Are you not also guilty before the Lord your God? Listen to me and return the captives you took from your brothers, for the Lord's burning anger is on you." So some men who were leaders of the Ephraimites, Azariah son of Jehonan, Bechariah son of Meshalamoth, Jekiah son of Shalom, and Amasa son of Hadali, stood in opposition to those coming from the war. They said to them, "You must not bring captives here, for you plan to bring guilt on us from the Lord to add to our sins and our guilt, for we have much guilt and burning angers on Israel." The army left the captives and the plunder in the presence of the officers and the congregation. Then the men who were designated by name took charge of the captives and provided clothes for their naked ones from the plunder. They clothed them, gave them sandals, food and drink, dressed their wounds, and provided donkeys for all the feeble. The Israelites brought them to Jericho, the city of palms, along among their brothers. Then they returned to Samaria. At that time, King Ahaz asked the king of Assyria for help. The Edomites came again, attacked Judah, and took captives. The Philistines also raided the cities of the Judean foothills and the Negev of Judah. They captured and occupied Beth Shemesh, Alanon, and Gederoth, as well as Soko, Timnah, and Gimzo with their surrounding cities. For the Lord humbled Judah because of King Ahaz of Judah, who threw off restraint in Judah and was unfaithful to the Lord. Then King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria came against Ahaz. He oppressed him and did not give him support. Although Ahaz plundered the Lord's temple and the palace of the king and the rulers and gave the plunder to the king of Assyria, it did not help him. At the time of his distress, King Ahaz himself became more unfaithful to the Lord. He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which defeated him. He said, since the gods of the kings of Aram are helping them, I will sacrifice to them so that they will help me. But they were the downfall of him and all of Israel. Then Ahaz gathered up the utensils of God's temple, cut them into pieces, shut the doors of the Lord's temple, and made himself altars on every street corner of Jerusalem. He made high places in every city of Judah to offer incense to other gods, and he angered the Lord, the God of his ancestors. As for the rest of his deeds and all his ways from the beginning to the end, they are all written in the book of Kings of Judah and Israel. Ahaz rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city in Jerusalem. But they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. His son Hezekiah became king in his place. Whew. You know, every time I read Kings and Chronicles, all I can think is, you really don't need soap operas. All I need is the Bible. It's dramatic, right? So Ahaz. So I think it's funny the first couple verses that drop Ahaz's biography, right? So chapter 28, verse 1, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. You talk about young for the job. I know at times when you're reading and we're reading the Bible and we see all these different young kings come into power, it almost becomes like a normality. But I just want to like put ourselves inside of his shoes just for a second. Because what I'm going to kind of apply over the next chapter is going to be, I think we all have a little bit of Ahaz in us, but just a little bit. So Ahaz was 20 years old when he came into kingship, kind of wild and kind of young. And I'm just curious how many of us today would say, when I was 20, I was making all the best decisions in the world. And then I would love to just put your life up on a wall on a nice movie screen and just check out and watch 20-year-old you and see how many decisions we make that are wise. Because when I think back to 20, I don't know if there was one wise decision aside from maybe dating my wife, Shannon. That was probably the best decision I ever made. And I believe it was when I was 20, 19 or 20 when I gave my life to Christ. So maybe those were the two things I had going for me, and that's it. So Ahaz is 20 years old, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 16 years. So you're talking about by the time he hit 36 is when he was finished. 36 years old is probably maybe a good age to step into the kingship. So by the time he's hitting the spot where he could really rule is the time where he's being taken out of power. Now, I will say this because I don't believe in making excuses. I believe in taking responsibility. Ahaz made his own decisions. And when it talks about his life, it says he did not do what was right in the Lord's sight like his ancestor David. That's tough. That's tough. You know, I would be so curious to be sitting in the council room where they talked about the kings, when they talked about decisions they were making, ruling the country, ruling the nation, and they look at kings like Ahaz and says, do you remember what David did? Could you imagine the comparison that would happen constantly, what would build up in your heart? So Ahaz right here, what it's saying of him is that he was not following the Lord. Verse 2, it says, he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made cast images to Baal. You know, he was following the example of other kings and not a king that paved the way of being after God's own heart. You know, something to know about King David, right? King David was the second king over Israel. First king being Saul. Saul had a heart issue and Saul was appointed by man, but David was appointed by God. And when he was appointed as king, something to know, David was very, 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 keep filling in the blank, all the verys, far from God at times. David was a wicked man at times Because I think sometimes we idolize King David because we look at the book of Psalms and we see his personal counseling session with God. Come on, somebody. Right? We see David dancing before the king, dancing before the people as the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, being moved back into Jerusalem, signifying the presence of Jesus being moved back in front of the people. However, David was also the one who killed his friend and stole his wife. David was also the one who at times just acted very, very, very wicked. And yet inside of the word of God, it says in David's wickedness, he did not follow the example of David, but instead followed the example of other kings. So here's what set David apart in comparison to other kings. David always returned to Christ. David's first love was always Jesus. He may have lost his way sometimes. He may have messed up sometimes. However, anytime David was running amok and acting a fool, he knew his source and where to go, and it was right back to the Lord. And which is exactly what I kind of want to bring up, just maybe my first point for you this morning, my note takers, I got you. It's David knew what he loved most. Now, I want to ask you, what do you love most? We have a value inside of the Warner household. Welcome to Crazy Town. But we have a value inside of our house. And our value is we will sacrifice things we love for things we love more. So we try to make sure we know what we love most, right? Because the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Which means anything I have, anything I can muster, I want to love God with it first. David was one who at times would give his attention and his love to other things, but he always knew how to lay down that love for what he loved more. And I just want to ask you, what do you love most today? Because some of us might say, I love my kids most. I love my spouse most. Hey, if you got a nice car, maybe you love your sports car most. My friend has got a Mustang, and I was asking him, hey, buddy, how is it? And he was like, all my dreams have been fulfilled. I said, yep, that is the dream of a man in the middle of his midlife crisis. I love you. But right, what do we love most inside of our life? And are we willing to sacrifice the things we love for what we love more? Because I love the Lord. I love his kingdom the most, right? However, I want to let go of what is good for what is great. Because God has great things for our life. And I know the great is realized when we press into Jesus and decide we want to love him the most. So the example of the contrast between Ahaz and David, David loved God the most. I think Ahaz loved God a little, if even, right? Because he was willing to pick up other things in spite of or instead of his love for Christ. And I think we all do this sometimes, though, right? Let's think about it. Come on. How many of us know that the Wawa Sizzlies are not good for us, but we still love them, right? But then when we get on the beach, because it is beach season, and we're out there, and we're getting ready to take our shirt off, and someone walks past with a six-pack, and we said, oh, no. I love the Wawa Sizzly most this season, right? You are seeing the warm winter body come into action. Come on, somebody, right? We lay down the things we love for the things we love most, right? We might love the Wawa Sizzly, but we want to love our health the most, right? I'm preaching to myself right now. So what do we love most? So it says Ahaz, inside of his own disobedience and his own rebellion in his life, in verse 3, it says he burned incense in Ben-Hinnom Valley and burned his children in the fire. I'm just going to get this out of the way. Because I always feel as though some things are just very straightforward and common sense. But some of us would probably sit here and say common sense isn't always too common. So I just want to get it out of the way. Sacrificing your children is wrong. I just want to like leave that like on the bottom line. What Ahaz was doing right here was a really evil, evil, evil action. There is no precedence inside of the Bible for sacrificing your children. Ahaz was following a different religious practice from different religious groups that God actually condemned. So God, in many, many ways and many times, was always letting the nation of Israel know, do not sacrifice your children like the other nations. And here is Ahaz, wildly misguided, deciding to do the same thing. So he goes ahead and sacrifices his children. And it goes on. It says that the Lord was angered against us. He sacrificed burnt incense in the high place and under every green shoot. So verse 5 says, the Lord his God handed Ahaz over to the king of Aram. He attacked him and took many captives to Damascus. God handed him over. I think it's very interesting because, you know, many times we kind of paint this picture of God being all loving, which is 100% true. And I want to let you know one of the best examples of God's love for us is in his discipline of us. Because God's discipline of us is always meant to turn us to him. So right here, God is handing Ahaz over to his own sin. There are times where God will release us to our own actions. How many of us have had a toddler? And this toddler keeps on wanting to touch the hot stove. And no matter how many times we tell the toddler, the stove is hot, the stove is hot, the stove is hot, you'll burn your hand, the stove is hot. Until finally you hit the spot of, all right, touch the stove. Touch the stove then. If you want to know how it feels, touch it. I personally believe that the Lord does the same thing, maybe with a little less angst. But God finally says, if you want to be given over to your own sin, I will release you to what you love most. Because right here, God was saying, you may say you love me most with your mouth, but through your actions and your heart, you love your own actions and disobedience most. And handed Ahaz over to his own sin. And through his own sin and his own actions, Ahaz brought a lot of distress into his life. I'm going to jump verses just a little bit here because it says later on in verse 22, I saw as one of our highlighted verses that we liked. At the time of his distress, King Ahaz himself became more unfaithful to the Lord. There was a lot of distress inside of Ahaz's life. However, it's also really important to notice that he brought on a lot of the problems into his own life. You know, he was the source of his own issues. And I think many times we can be very aware of how evil the enemy is, of everything that he brings into our life, of all the nonsense and the junk, the spiritual attacks. And I don't want to denounce those today because they're very, very real. But I think sometimes we also need to recognize how evil the inner me can be too. Because I say this every day. I myself in my own life don't need a devil because I'll trip myself up every day. I personally get myself in more trouble than you could ever possibly imagine. And I don't need a devil to help me do it. I'm pretty evil. I am evil enough on my own to get there. Come on, somebody. I am messed up and have enough junk in my life to get myself in so many messes. However, what's beautiful is there's a grace from Jesus in spite of all of that. And there are other people inside of the Bible that dealt with the same exact thing. Just like the Apostle Paul. Pastor Brennan preached this way back in our Messy Church, Messy Life series, which I thought was absolute gold. If you haven't listened to it, go back and watch it. We have it on YouTube. But it talks about a little bit about the Apostle Paul writing in Romans chapter 7, verse 19, where Paul says, I do not do the good I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. How many of us want to do good things, but then for some reason we do the wrong thing? We know the good thing in our mind, but for some reason we end up doing the wrong thing in our actions. I know I'm not supposed to yell at the person who cut me off in traffic. However, sometimes it just ends up happening and I catch myself afterwards. Do I have anyone in here with me? I know I'm not supposed to get impatient with the bank teller because they're telling me my balance is zero, but I know for a fact I have money in my account, right? I know I'm not supposed to get agitated and lose my patience. I know I'm not supposed to be upset because the cafe ran out of coffee, right? I know I'm not supposed to get angry easy and be quick to anger. However, sometimes for some reason, I do the things I don't want to do, just like the Apostle Paul, right? I get myself in a lot of trouble. And I think this is exactly why we need to keep our hearts in the right direction, right? This is why it's so beautiful about the Summer Road Trip series. And when I was reading Ahaz, all I could think is, man, Psalm 23 would have been a great thing for him to press into, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I need to follow the way of the Lord, right? Because Ahaz decided to follow the example of other people rather than in following the example of the Lord. And I think this is what's beautiful, church, is that God gives us this incredible book right here, and it's called the Bible. And the Word of God wants to guide us inside of our lives and wants to lead us. Because if he is our shepherd, then what does that make us? And everybody said sheep. Because sheep, let me bring into some, let me bring you into how I read the Bible. Okay. It may be a little messed up, but this is just how I read it. So when I read the Lord is my shepherd and I realize that I'm a sheep, my first thought is, God, I really thought you loved me. And that's kind of insulting. If you have ever spent any time around sheep, for a lack of better words, they're not the smartest animal. They're not very brilliant. They're actually kind of dumb. And on top of it, I don't know if you knew this or not, but sheep's eyesight are terrible. Their eyesight is horrific. They can't see threats coming at all. They realize a threat gets there when one of their buddies is getting drug away, right? Sheep are extremely stubborn animals. They will not move unless you move them, right? Which is exactly why we need the shepherd, right? Sheep, and this is a little bit more disgusting, but I think it actually applies to the point. Sheep, when they're left inside of a field by themselves, they will eat every single blade of grass in their surrounding area, and they will not move to another area. And after they finish all the grass in that area, they will begin to eat one another's excrement until they die. It's horrible. And this is what God refers to us as, these sheep. Does anyone else feel a little insulted yet today? But we are sheep. And let me explain to you why. Because I believe we can relate to them much more than we think we can. Because we will overindulge in things in our lives that are killing us on a daily basis. And we need the Lord, our shepherd, to lead us out of it. And I think Ahaz was one of the ones that was indulging in things that were not good for him on a daily basis. And it wasn't good. And it was leading him down the wrong path. So the distress that was coming into his life was not from outside circumstances. It was really from the things he was bringing into his own life. And I just want to ask you this question today. If you were to take inventory of the distress in your life, who is the source or what is the source? And I want to tell you, listen, there are outside circumstances that come in that aren't our fault. There are things that happen to us. And I want to tell you, God has so much hope, peace, and mercy. But one thing I want to recognize is that God also wants to have new morning mercy for us today on ourselves so we could be led out of our own failures, led out of our own distress. But it takes a self-awareness to say, God, they aren't the problem. I am. God, don't deal with them. Deal with me, right? I want to be dealt with today. Because in the word problem, you'll notice there is an ME, me. I am the problem, right? But we all have our junk that needs to get dealt with. And God has so much grace for us that he doesn't shame us in our issues, doesn't shame us in our junk, but rather takes us where we are and says, it's okay to be imperfect. I just want to show you the way to go. So this is the life of Ahaz. And Ahaz grew way more bitter rather than getting better. Verse 22, it says it once again, at the time of his distress, he himself became more unfaithful to God. He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him. He said, since the gods of the kings of Aram are helping them, I'll sacrifice to them so that they will help me. Ahaz was a lost sheep. He was a lost, lost, lost sheep. And in his mind, he was waiting for God to bless his disobedience. And I think we may find ourselves there sometimes too. When I'm running and I'm running and I'm running, and maybe your prayers look like this sometimes as well, where I'm doing things and doing things, and I'm saying, God, won't you bless what I'm doing? God, won't you bless what I'm doing? And I'll pray after I make a decision, right? I'm getting ready to buy the new, not me, but it's like if we're getting ready to buy the new car, and as we're getting ready to buy the new car, it's like, I get it. God, will you bless my finances? And he's thinking, you never asked me if you should have bought the car in the first place. We're getting ready to jump into that relationship. And once we end up finally going on 3, 4, 5 dates with that individual, we're saying, God, will you bless the relationship? And he's like, you never asked me if they were good for you to begin with. You're asking for blessing when it could be disobedience. This is exactly why we're in the forefront off the beginning. God, is this good for me? Lord, I want to make sure I'm following you. I'm not going to start the race and ask you to bless me midway through. Lord, I'm going to ask you if I should even be running the race. Lord, I don't want you to be asking to bless my disobedience. I'd rather be quick to obey and jump into what you're calling me to and walk in the blessing of God. So right here, Ahaz sits there and says, you want to know what? God has abandoned me. He's probably thinking, God isn't faithful to me. Why would I be faithful to him? And he decides to turn to other gods in the meantime because his enemies are being blessed by that God. I want to let you know, Ahaz was all over the place. And I'd say this was such a bitter state of heart that was getting him here. And I want to ask you, because I think life circumstances can shift us. Life circumstances can direct us, direct our attitudes, our thought patterns. And I would just really want us to take some inventory today through the life of Ahaz. Your circumstances and situations that have happened to you, right? The relationships that didn't go the way you wanted them to go. The job that you thought was going to be golden and a game changer in your life, and it turns out your boss is the devil, right? That friendship that where your bestie has been your bestie for 30, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, and then suddenly they turn the page on you and it's totally different. I want to ask you, are your circumstances, your situations, the distresses that may be inside of your life, are you getting better through them or are you getting bitter? Because bitterness will turn you from the Lord, but better turns you towards God. Because I'm not saying we're going to get totally healed tomorrow, but what I'm saying is I'm healed and healing. What I'm saying is I've grown and I'm growing. I'm not perfect today, but I'm being perfected. And as I'm following Jesus, as I'm pressing into the Lord, I can sit here and say that I'm not getting bitter, but I'm getting better. Ahaz was one who got bitter. And when he got bitter, this is exactly why he finds himself sacrificing to the gods of Damascus, saying, hey, won't they help me? Won't they help me? Won't they help me? And lo and behold, I think we would all naturally say they're not going to help him. However, what's incredible to me is that the Lord stands ready at the whisper of a word, at the saying of his name to draw close to us. Because just like it says in the book of James, if we draw close to him, he will draw close to us. And we can take that to the bank. It's a check that will always go through. When we draw close to God, God draws close to us. It goes on in the same chapter in verse 25. Because we notice that Ahaz's decisions were the downfall of all of Israel. 25, Ahaz gathered up all the utensils of God's temple, cut them into pieces. I think I read this and I actually laughed out loud because I have to, like, where do you get to in a place in your life when you steal from the house of God, right? It's like taking all the orange fusion Bibles out of the church and then cutting them into pieces. You're not stealing from the organization of the church. You're stealing from God, right? Like you're taking it all and cutting into the piece. This is how bitter he was towards the Lord. And he cuts them into pieces. And this last part is really crazy. He shuts the doors of the Lord's temple. He made himself altars on every street corner in Jerusalem. He made the high places in every city of Judah to offer incense to the other gods and angered the Lord, the God of his ancestors. You know, I want to really look at the symbol of what Ahaz was doing. He shut off the doors to the temple. What he was doing was he was shutting the doors of worship to God. He was sealing them off and saying no one is going to worship him anymore. However, I want to tell you something that may be obvious, but I think it'll be a game changer in your life. God won't be stopped. He cannot be stopped. He's not a man that we can knock him down. He is not a man that he can lie. But he is the Lord Almighty who will break through every shut door to make sure people can get to him. And I also want to kind of flip the other side of this, because I talked about a lot of our distresses we can bring upon ourselves, but there are outside circumstances that happen to us. You could be just like the nation of Israel. You could have been a natural person loving the Lord, and because your king Ahaz was acting a fool, you could be living inside of the distress of the hundreds of thousands of people that were falling at the hand of Ahaz, right? The people who are being taken captive. We could have been one of them. I really want to point this out. Whatever may be happening to you, God can't be stopped inside of your life. God will bring the breakthrough. As the Bible calls him, Jehovah Perazim, the God of breakthrough. He will always come through inside of your life, because even when we're faithless, he's faithful. Even when I'm messing up, he has so much grace and mercy to work it out for good. And I think it is incredible that we serve a God that is so powerful, that can take any broken situation, that could take any failure and any fault, and turn it around for our good and his glory. So I want to encourage you today as we close. Ahaz may have been wayward. He may have been all over the place. And shoot, I really want us to just not point fingers at Ahaz, but realize sometimes we're all over the place. No matter how much we serve God, no matter how much Bible we know, listen, church, sometimes we are all over. But in the middle of all of it, God won't be stopped in our lives. Because the reason that Ahaz was handed over to his own sin was so that he could be humbled, right? Verse 19, it says, the Lord humbled Judah because of King Ahaz. You see, God was trying to humble him. Why? Because when God humbles us, it's so he can give grace to us. In the same way as God gives grace to the proud, but resists, or gives grace to the humble, but resists to the proud. God wants to give us grace today. Grace for today, grace for tomorrow, so that we could have the power to live for him and follow him in every situation inside of our life. So I want to encourage you with that. God won't be stopped in your life. All you need to do is press in and follow him. Don't worry about what comes inside of your way. Know that he will bring the breakthrough. Amen? Come on, let's pray. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, that we have examples like Ahaz. The wayward kings, the kings that disobey, the kings that build altars everywhere. But Lord, I just pray, help us not point fingers at people like Ahaz, but instead become introspective to understand that sometimes we really bring the mess into our own life too. So Lord, just give us grace today. God, give us a power to overcome today, that we would know that we know that we have a God on our side that wants to walk with us and give us the power to overcome. Lord, I still think it's wild that he tried to shut the doors of the temple, but you are a God that won't be stopped. You will break through any shut door in your way. So Lord, I just pray, bring breakthrough into our lives today to follow you. And God, make your voice so loud to us. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, folks, God bless you. Have a great day.